It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Friday, August 7th. I'm Patricia Naft. An estimated 1 million gallons of contaminated water spilled into a tributary of the Animas River in San Juan County on Wednesday. Workers with the Environmental Protection Agency triggered the spill at Gold King Mine near Silverton while investigating contamination at the site. The EPA is warning people to stay out of the Animas River, which runs through Durango, until the wastewater flows downstream. Jonathan Thompson, a senior editor with environmental magazine High Country News, tells KUNC the pollution has turned the river bright orange.
The river normally is like a nice green color, really sort of a deep green. And right now where that has hit, it is bright orange. It's like orange crush, but a really thick orange crush.
The La Plata County says the acidic mine water contains high levels of sediment and metals. Durango shut off water it gets from the river, and the county notified agricultural users to shut off water intake. Colorado Parks and Wildlife says it's watching the effects the spill could have on fish and other animals. Two security gates at the Grand Junction Airport continue to be an issue. That's why three Colorado congressmen are weighing in on the matter. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
The Grand Junction Regional Airport wants to do away with two perimeter security gates. Airport officials say they block access to local businesses and attractions. Steve Wood is the vice chair of the airport's Board of Commissioners.
Those gates went up fall of 2011, and they had a pretty significant adverse impact on the airport. Some businesses that operated in the area that's now behind the gates have since ceased business and left the airport.
The barriers also bar entry to an Air Force museum and a Civil Air Patrol facility. Wood says the airport originally installed the gates as part of a wildlife control measure, but soon realized it was a bad idea.
We frankly don't think the gates have too much to do with wildlife control. They controlled access into a certain portion of the airport.
Wood says the airport started working with the Transportation Security Administration to get the barriers removed in 2012. However, last month the TSA shut down a plan to get rid of the gates.
We were stunned at the rejection letter because we worked closely with the TSA and we thought we were moving collegially towards something that they would approve.
Now Colorado congressional figures are stepping in. U.S. Senators Michael Bennett and Cory Gardner and U.S. Representative Scott Tipton sent a letter to the TSA this week. It requests the agency send a senior-level officer to work with the airport to resolve the matter. A TSA spokesperson tells the Daily Sentinel the agency will respond directly to the legislators. Airport officials hope having congressional involvement will help move the process along. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
The Ute Indian Museum in Montrose closed this week for renovations. The closure could last for nearly a year. CJ Bradford, the museum's director, describes what will change at the facility.
When we reopen, we'll include a visitor center. It will include a gift store. It will be open to rent out the property here for weddings and business meetings, and we are doubling our space here.
During construction, the museum will relocate to the Montrose Visitor Center. There, people can see select exhibit materials and access the museum store and office. As cities in Colorado are expanding to accommodate a growing population, so are costs of providing services and utilities. As part of Connecting the Drops, our series on statewide water issues, Maeve Conran takes a look at how some communities are reevaluating how they charge for services like water and what they might mean for encouraging smarter growth.
Not far from the Children's Hospital in Aurora, a city of 350,000 east of Denver, longtime resident Mr. Gilbert is sweeping up debris after an early summer hailstorm. He just got his water bill, and like many water consumers, he's not exactly clear on all the charges.
I just got the water bill a few minutes ago. It's $198. I think that's a bit high, but I don't know how they're breaking it down, but it's all good.
Mr. Gilbert is not alone in not fully understanding the complexities of a water bill, which basically has two components. The consumptive charge, which is the water that you use. Typically, the more water you use, the more you'll pay. But what's less clear to customers is the service charge. That's often a fixed monthly fee that pays for things like pipes and treatment plants. But what customers don't see is the tap fee. That's something that is paid long before they ever move into their home.
A tap fee is a charge that's assessed to new developments. So a new home or a new business in a community. It's a way for that new development to buy into the water system.
Amelia Newding, a water and energy analyst with Western Resource Advocates, says some communities are rethinking their tap fees with a view to encouraging more water-wise development. She's currently studying how tap fees can be used to encourage growth with water conservation in mind. She's looking at five communities around the country, including Aurora. Marshall Brown, director of Aurora Water, says in 2014 they significantly restructured their tap fees.
The intent of that was to tie the cost directly to the volume of water.
Brown says that under the old pricing structure, a small house on a small lot might pay a tap fee of $24,500.
Or you could have a 2-acre parcel with a 10-bedroom, 6-bath structure. That would also have paid a $24,500 tap fee.
Now large water users will pay larger tap fees and smaller users will pay smaller ones. Marshall Brown says the idea in restructuring the tap fees was not to guide specific development, but rather, he says, to have developers think about what they're designing and its impact on water.
Instead of maybe just planting acres and acres of turf, they may now consider low water use plants or other types of more efficient water use landscaping.
Chuck Howe, a professor emeritus of economics at CU Boulder, says growing cities can also use tap fees to encourage smarter and denser development.
If you have scattered development, go down south of Denver and see all of the little subdivisions here and there, that makes it very expensive to bring water service to those areas. You have to lay a lot of supply pipes and sewer pipes long distances to serve only a few customers.
Amelia Newding with Western Resource Advocates says some cities are already considering the location of new development in the upfront costs that they charge to developers.
There are several tap fees that will charge more if these developments have taken place outside the traditional city limits or outside the traditional water service area, just because of those exact reasons. It costs more to build that infrastructure further out.
Aurora Water says it's too early to say what impact their new tap fees are having on development, but Executive Director Marshall Brown says now developers have a clearer sense of the real cost of water. Western Resource Advocates will release their study on how tap fees can encourage water conservation later this summer. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio and Connecting the Drops, I'm Maeve Conran.
Connecting the Drops is a collaboration between Rocky Mountain Community Radio stations and the Colorado Foundation for Water Education, with support from the Pitkin County Healthy Rivers and Streams Board. Find out more at yourwatercolorado.org.
Stay tuned for Alan and the Feel Good Friday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.